are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week 3 in our series, All I Want for Christmas, the only wish list you'll ever need. For more information and to visit us online, go to midcurrentchurch.org. And now, here's guest speaker, Pastor Steve Anderson, with today's message.
I just have to say, it is good to be here, Mid-Current. I have been tracking with your story, with your journey, like Pastor Sen said, week by week, month by month, year by year, and it is incredibly, I'm just incredibly just honored to be here. It's something of a kind of like a love affair from the other side of the border. We're in the Southwest Metro in Chanhassen. Chanhassen is really on the map because of this short guy that loved purple. We worship in a school in which this makes me feel so at home, because I checked in today with my team, like, did they turn the heat on? So thank you for making me feel welcome. In our gym, it is always cold, and so I have my Mid-Current swag on here, if you notice my sticker, and so this is just an advertisement. If you're cold, they have sweatshirts for sale out here. So you're welcome to it, but truly, I am so grateful for your pastor and his sweet family's presence in my life. I kind of think of Pastor Sen as the gas and I'm the brake. There are times we get just amped up, excited about what God's been doing, and I hear these incredible stories of what God has been doing here in the life of this community, and so I am grateful to be here. We have this continuous thread, and I hope you have someone like this in your life. A continuous text thread of really real and honest conversation of admissions and confessions, and in our thread, it's encouragement to say, I can just reach out to this guy and say, hey, would you pray for me? This is what I just experienced in the loss of somebody or the celebrations in our lives. And so that is the friendship and the partnership that I have with your pastor. There's also some slightly inappropriate humor, and it's really inappropriate humor, that if that thread got out, I think we'd both be canceled. But I met Sten not just like 5.5, 6 years ago, but I want to just tell you just a quick story. I was a youth pastor, and I was bringing down some high school students to the city of Chicago, where there was this college there, and I had some former students that were attending there. And so I reached out to those students that were on campus saying, we're gonna stay there, they're gonna do a tour, but when you go to Chicago, you gotta have Chicago deep dish pizza. And so if there's any Giordano fans here, that's why I go to Chicago. It's just to get the deep dish Giordano's pizza. And so I asked some of those students, like, I think we need a few extra set of eyes, because I don't want to lose my job when we pull out of the L station, the transit there, and it's that picturesque moment that you see in like TV shows and pictures, like we're all on the inside and there's like the one lone standing person still on the platform as the train leaves. So I'm like, we need extra eyes. And I said, tell them that we're gonna feed them, we're gonna free pizza, we'll cover their fare and all that. And guess who loves free pizza? Pastor Sten. But not only just Pastor Sten, because in this group of these college students was this young gal, and maybe she loved free pizza, or she really had eyes for this other guy named Sten. And so Erica, Sten's wife, was also joining with us. But we have just an incredible, fun friendship of faith and laughter and all of the things that come with it. And so I'm glad to join here with you in continuing in this series, the only wish you'll ever want and need, that Christmas wish list. And we all have that wish list, don't we? And you only have about 5 days to make that come true. Just let you know, and maybe that's your plan after this service, to go out there and start checking boxes and opening doors and do your shopping. But there's this moment in which we place things on our list that we hope promises to deliver what they have been telling us. And so over these weeks, Pastor Sen has been inviting you to consider these other items on your list. But before I get to the item that I want to place on your list for you to consider, I'm going to invite you to go back in your memory to when you were younger. And maybe it was when you were much, much younger. Some of you have to go further back. But what was it that you had on your wish list? That in that morning or that evening, whenever you open gifts, what if it were there, it would make everything right. What was it for you? Go back always. I'm going to reveal a little bit of my age and show you my cards. I had on my list something that was inspired by TV commercials, by the huge staircase that we had in our house that was from top to bottom, this awesome, massive staircase. And there was this commercial for this spring-like thing called a what? Slinky, yeah, you're with me. And so I saw these commercials. Here's what I encourage you to do, not right now, but YouTube slinky retro commercials. They're actually kind of awkward and scary. Do it. And so in that, it's a slinky. But did you know that the person who invented the slinky was a naval engineer who absolutely failed at plan A? Slinky is actually plan B, because he was trying to design some sort of a spring to keep things, technical equipment on a naval ship from banging around. And so the slinky was invented, but it did not do its job. It failed. And so the intended purpose was then repurposed once he knocked it off his table and he saw the action. And then a toy company picked it up, and that's where we have it. And there, if you're younger, Slink the dog has a history of failure, right? There are other things that maybe have been on your wish list in the past. Another one for me was Play-Doh, because you had to have that Play-Doh factory thing where you put it in and you mashed it out. And in like your young boyish mind, it wasn't just spaghetti or the tube. It was other things of bathroom humor, like, look at this. And so Play-Doh was actually a failure as well, because it was intended in the beginning to be a putty that would clean wallpaper. Because old wallpaper, you couldn't just wash or put a detergent on because the ink would smear. You'd apply this putty and it would remove a stain. But that company that started off with great, big, huge wishes and dreams was failing, until the wife of the owner of the company said, maybe I can take this to school, as she was a school teacher, and see if the kids like to play with it. Now, there were slightly toxic chemicals in the original version. Because you know then in this field, education and learning, like maybe kids love to play with this stuff. They had to change the chemical compounds because kids like to eat things, right? That's another intended purpose that was then repurposed. One last thing that maybe isn't really on your wish list, but I bet you have in your home. Now, there was in 1871, this man named William who loved to bake pies, and he started a pie baking company in Connecticut. That then he was trying to cut costs. And instead of giving away these glass pie plates, he thought maybe we can shift to something that's cheaper, that we don't have to actually ask to be brought back. And so the pie plates turned into pie tins made out of aluminum. And like any good marketing strategy, he'd stamp his name onto the pie tin. It was in the 1940s that there were some college students on the campus of Yale that were zinging these pie plates, because that's what college guys do. They just go, hey, let's see if we can throw this. And so they were zinging them around, and it kind of caught on. It first was called the Pluto Platter by Wham-O, the toy company, and that didn't catch on, but you probably know it by another name, Frisbee. It is William Frisbee in the Frisbee Pie Baking Company that you have probably never heard of, because it hasn't been selling pies for decades. But the Frisbee is probably in each of your homes, because the Frisbee each year outsells basketball sales. Yeah. It outsells baseballs, I mean, in footballs, it outsells all of those combined annually. That's impressive, because there was an intended purpose that when it hit a bump, it was then repurposed. There was a moment in which pie sales were not clicking, and it transitioned into something else. But if you want to start a revolution, this is how you market your Frisbees right here. I mean, you get some dudes out there in Guy Thai July, zinging these discs everywhere. I mean, the hair. And maybe some of you were alive in this. I don't think I was. But that is how something that was intended for one purpose was then repurposed. And there's things like that that we have no idea what the story is. Because at some point, there was some sort of interruption. And there was some sort of disruption that was intended for one purpose that then was repurposed. And so maybe you can look back on part of your life and say, there was a time where I was absolutely interrupted. Life was disrupted. And you can say, I didn't plan for it to go that way. And maybe there's a story that you have in the past, but maybe your story maybe resembles a little of that right now. That there was a moment in your life where you said, I didn't plan on that. This was a dream that disappeared. And when that happens, there's pain and there's discouragement and it's difficult. But here's what I would suggest. What looks like a complete disruption is often where we find unexpected purpose in a discovery of something new that's going to be birthed within us. And so the past couple weeks, Pastor Sen has talked about purpose, and purpose is often found and discovered in the presence of God, in a community where people are saying, hey, I see this in you. That's why I'm here today. Someone said in community, in the presence of God, saying, hey, Steve, I see that you're gifted in this. Would you even just try? Would you listen and see what God does with it? And here I am. And that was many years ago, but our purpose is often discovered and refined within the presence in our worship, in our community. And then he talked about last week about peace, and it isn't found on that tranquil pathway and in the soft flowing snow that's been coming down this last week. Peace is actually found in the promises of God, that it is dependable, that it is predictable, that peace will come from the promises that we read about in Scripture. But today I'm going to invite you to place another item onto your wish list, the only wish list that you will ever need, and it's this: disruption. Disruption isn't something in our lives that we would ever wish for, but what I'm going to invite you to do is to have a new posture to welcome it. And that is where we're going to be going today. And maybe your life hasn't been what you intended. And maybe you're starting to question some of the promises that you read and you hear about in the Bible. Maybe your plan A hasn't panned out, and maybe you feel like your life has been disrupted. Mary in the Christmas story, I'm going to invite you to not get too far ahead in the story where you're like, oh, it's the angels, glory to God in the highest, and whatever elements of that story you know, but to stop and pause and consider how her life was absolutely disrupted. This was not Mary's plan A. This was God's plan B for her life. And so we're going to pick up right there in Luke chapter 1, if you have a Bible with or a device you want to power up. But right here in chapter 1, verse 31, this is the angel announcing and speaking to Mary, this is now your disruption. And the angel speaks to Mary and says, you will conceive and give birth to a son. That word birth right there is Noel. It's birth, born, birth. And so Noel sounds a whole lot better to sing than birth, right? So right here, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Right here, I don't know if you can imagine, right here, not by Mary's choice. She didn't raise her hand to say, yes, I have a plan here for my life. Yes, I'm open to a new one. She was going about her business. Her idea of what was ahead was disrupted. Her soon-to-be husband would have a whole lot of questions. Her narrative would change. The story of her life is being rewritten and given a new direction. And right here, her life was absolutely disrupted. But what is interesting is what we see in verse 38 is her response to it. She says back to the angel and to God, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your words to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. That's an incredibly courageous response, would you say? Like right here, she says, yes, instead of focusing on what was lost in plan A, she's like, I am so open to see what you do in plan B. To be honest, I wish that was my experience when I experienced disruption. I don't know what your response is when what you had hoped for, planned for, dreamed of gets absolutely disrupted. But here's Mary saying, I'm open. Let's do this. I can't wait. Because maybe for you, you've planned for a career only to find out when you landed in that career, you actually didn't like it. But the problem is that you have a whole bunch of debt of student loan or other things that you had to do for that certification to go through that mentorship, whatever that is. And you're like, life is disrupted because something didn't pan out the way I hoped. Or maybe you planned for a relationship to go somewhere and it didn't because of something that happened. Maybe it was something that you did or the other person did. Maybe you planned and you worked hard for something only to feel like it's always out of reach because there's these things that just keep on getting in the way. What I want to offer to you today are maybe possibly three responses that we can have when we experience a disruption in our own lives. And so this first one, it can be really damaging and maybe even part of your life and in your experience, but the elements of it, our response to disruption can be actually sort of damaging to our identity. And in the first response, the possible response we have to this is that in this disruption and in the experience of it, we can allow it to define us. That this is just what I am. And when your plan for your life is disrupted by choices that you made, which would be the internal choices, or the choices that someone else has made for you, that would be the external choices. And this is what's beautiful. When we read about Jesus in the Bible, Jesus doesn't distinguish between the victims or the choosers. He loves them just the same. And so here, maybe you've been defined by a disruption because of a choice that you made or someone else made on your behalf or some other larger economic sort of challenge that has pressed upon you. But it can define who we feel and know ourselves to be. And that isn't how God sees us. And so maybe some of these are the messages that you've heard or you've spoken into yourself, the messages that we believe and even put words to, that's just who I am. I grew up in a home where that's just the way things were. Coming from a family system, that's really just all I know. I mean, these are defining messages, aren't they? I've tried and it just didn't work. I guess I'm not enough. I've been told that this is all I'll ever be. Have you heard these messages before? Have you heard these kinds of messages? Because in disruption, we can hear those kinds of messages and absolutely allow it to define who we are. We can allow disruption to define us, but maybe there's a message that you've received that has defined you, and it isn't ever a message that God intended for you. The second possible response that we can experience in disruption, when plan A changes, that we can allow it to defeat us. Because in disruption, we can absolutely be discouraged and become defeated, that this is all I will ever be, or this is all it will ever be. We did everything possible, and plan B started out, and it defeated us because it looks nothing like plan A. Have you ever had to shift and change a dream? Have you ever had to rewrite a new chapter that you never planned on writing because of something of a disruption in a medical office, in a text message, or an email, or in a relationship that absolutely tanked? But there are messages that we can receive that, why can't I do what she's doing? Because every time I do it, I find myself back at ground zero. That is an absolutely defeating experience when some disruption hits your life. Maybe you say, I don't have what it takes to try again because I know what will happen because I've done it before and I'm absolutely defeated, so I'm just gonna give up. But what I would suggest is a third possibility, is a posture that we can take on when we experience disruption. Though again, we never wish for it, but we need to be open to welcoming it. Because I believe that there's a power that God does in the midst of it, and that's why it makes it to our wish list here today. Because it has the potential for God to do something in us, to develop us, to deepen something in us, because of the possibility, because of proximity, that God would come close to us. We sing this word, Emmanuel, which means God with us, that God came close to us, that he would say, I love you so much, I'm gonna come even nearer. God, in those moments of absolute disruption, in a conversation for another day, is, does God cause and bring the disruption, or does he allow the disruption? And those are two hard places to live in. And maybe you're wondering and questioning about those here today, but it's the work that God does in the midst of disruption that I'm gonna ask you to be open to, because it will come with some kind of discomfort. When we are disrupted, things become uncomfortable. When we are disrupted, there's always some element of discomfort. We will chase after comfort for every possible, this is why we layer up, right? Because we don't wanna be uncomfortable outside in December on a day like today. We layer up, we will do everything to avoid discomfort. We will avoid hard conversations around the Christmas dinner table or at the New Year's Eve party. We're gonna avoid those because those will cause a whole lot of discomfort, you know what I mean? And don't even talk about the politics, and don't talk and go there, and you know which conversations to avoid because it will cause a great deal of discomfort in your life. But how about this? How interested is God actually in our comfort? How interested is God in our, yes, I believe that God wants to bless us. He wants to meet our needs, that he is the provider. But I wonder if he's interested in something else. Is God maybe more interested in developing faith and character in you? I think God is more interested in deepening your dependence upon him. And oftentimes he works through this disruption in our life. I might say it this way, that God is more interested in developing our faith and character than he is increasing comfort. But how many of your prayers, if you pray, how many of your prayers are shaped and framed around increasing comfort? I just want it to be good. I just want it to be safe. We just need this. And if you give more, that'd be great. But I wonder if God does most of his work, his best work in us when we are in a place of discomfort. So how might we take on a posture of welcoming, not just maybe wishing, but welcoming the disruption in our lives? I believe that we can welcome this discomfort and this disruption in placing it on the wish list. And there's some words that I haven't yet read from this Christmas narrative that I think frame it for Mary and can frame it for us. Going back up in the text to verse 28, this is where it begins. The announcement of the angel comes to Mary and says, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. In that moment, she heard the words, you have value. You aren't alone. I see you and you're important to me. I believe right here, these are the powerful words that were spoken over Mary that gave her the courageous response to say, all right, though I don't wish for it, I'm gonna welcome it. And right here in this disruption, God's words over her gave her the courage to take the next step into her plan B. But when maybe we face our next plan B, C, D, or even G further on down, what would change for you if you believed what God believes about you? Because right here, Mary's hearing, oh, I'm favored. I'm not alone. There's something more that God believes in me. What if for you would change in those moments of disruption if you believed what God believes about you? And maybe before you answer that question, what might give you the strength to say, all right, God, I welcome this even though I didn't wish for it? But maybe you need to ask yourself, what have you allowed to define you? What messages have you believed and tell yourself that God never intended for you to receive? Maybe you need to work on that area that you've been defined by some of the disruption in your life. Maybe what has exhausted you and defeated you and you believe that nothing is ever possible, you need to hear this, that God is with you and anything is possible. But what would change if you believed that you aren't alone? Maybe you have a greater sense of isolation during this season, which increases among so many, that I feel isolated in this holiday season. What would change if you knew and believed to the core that God was with you? What would change in you if you could speak words against the messages that dare to define you and defeat you? Because God sees the value in you and that you're never alone. See, where I see Mary's life has changed here, none of the messages that she would have received, the glances and the looks that people would shoot at her, none of that defined who she was, because I believe she heard the words, you're favored and you're not alone. You have value and I see you. She didn't take on the labels. She didn't take on the gossip and didn't allow it to defeat her. But what if plan B in your life, when there is disruption, what if plan B is the space where God wants to give birth to something new in you, to do something extraordinary deep in you, to develop you in areas that you never dreamed of or even can see yourself? I would bet that your prayers would change. I bet your posture to disruption would change as well, to say, all right, God, this is hard. I didn't wish for it, but you know what? With you, I'm gonna welcome it. The biggest disruption happened when there was a group of men and women that were following this guy that changed their life. They thought they had it worked out really well and like, oh, I can see our next chapter. I went from a nobody to becoming a somebody, and everything was going really well in the first century until there was a major disruption. See, God works some of his best powerful moments in disruption. And when this group of followers of Jesus, these disciples, they all had their retirement, they had their vision of what was to come disrupted when Jesus was killed on a cross. They thought, I don't understand. And in disruption, we don't fully understand. We don't see it, but it's always the invitation to say, God, I welcome it because I know you're gonna do something in and through it. God was doing something bigger in that moment, better beyond their imagination for those first century followers of Jesus when their plans were absolutely disrupted and when Jesus was crucified. But it wasn't just at Christmas that we celebrate this disruption in the world, but it's also the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And so when we believe what God believes about us, when we see the value, I believe it's gonna give you and it's gonna give me the courage to say, all right, God, here we are. Let's do this together. This wasn't my plan, but I'm gonna trust in yours. I'm gonna invite you into a posture of prayer to say, what is it for you that you might need strength in? What in you might need a little bit more encouragement because you've been discouraged because of a disruption that you didn't welcome? Maybe there's something in your life that you chose that then caused a disruption, and maybe you need to hear from God that you're lovable, you're capable, you have value. You're loved without strings, and you're never, ever alone. And that's the message there, that this angel comes in to Mary and says, Mary, you're highly favored. I see you, and you're never alone because I got a plan for your life, like he has a plan for yours and a plan for mine. I invite you to pray with me that we might hear a word of encouragement, a word of reminding us of who God is and who we are. Let's pray together. God, it's in our lives that we believe that we have control, that we are in control, but we aren't in control. And there's an invitation, God, to always trust in your plan for our lives when our plan A does not pan out. So God, I ask that you would give encouragement for those who may feel defeated. God, would you remind those who have been defined by circumstances that have been external or internal, God, that you would remind them and speak a word that you are known, loved, and you belong. And God, may we be open to the power of what you want to develop in us, that you want to deepen in us through disruption. That we would, in a posture of welcoming this, also be in a posture that we would trust you with it. And so God, I ask for that. May you speak through the power of your spirits that would stir amongst us to remind us of who we are and who you are, that we would believe in ourselves what you believe about us, to cancel any of those messages that we have taken on that you never intended for us to hear, that we are loved, that we are known and we're seen. We have a plan and a purpose. So God, thank you, and we worship you for what you have done in this story from beginning to end, and it continues even today with your love and your grace in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. Visit us during the week at midcurrentchurch.org and on Facebook and Instagram. Make plans to join us this Friday, December 23rd, for our Christmas Eve services at 5 and 7 p.m.